Muted.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Heathrow SP Limited results for the 9 months ended 30th of September 2014. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, the conference call is being recorded. Today I'm pleased to present John Holland-Kay. Please begin your meeting.
Hi, well, welcome to the Heathrow 9 month results call, and I'm joined here by Jose Leo, our Chief Financial Officer, Andrew Effiong, Group Treasurer, and Anne Hearn, who's the Head of Debt Investor Relations. I'm going to quickly run through the operational highlights, then I'll ask Jose to take us through the financial performance, and then I'll come back at the end to give you a quick update on our strategic agenda. And if there are any questions, they would be most welcome at the end. And just to remind you that if you're following remotely, you can view the presentation through the link on the invitation or directly on our website. So I'm going to start on slide 3, which is headed 2014 year-to-date highlights. And since I last updated you, I'm delighted to say we've now attained our highest ever passenger satisfaction for the first 9 months of the year. And this is driven by a lot of the changes we've made across the airport, but with a good contribution from the new Terminal 2, which has had a really fantastic start, and I'll talk a bit more about that later. Last week we saw the final moves into Terminal 2, and we now have 26 airlines operating at our newest terminal, so that's the original scheduled move sequence completed successfully. In terms of financial performance, we're seeing excellent traffic growth, particularly from intercontinental demand, and we are operating at a record level of traffic. So we're able to achieve record levels of passenger satisfaction in spite of being very busy. And our financial performance for 2014 gives us a good start to the regulatory period, which began on April the 1st. So our revenue is up 8.2% to £1.986 billion for the 9 months, and our EBITDA up 12.4% to £1.172 billion. And many of you have continued to support us through the year when we've raised over £1.6 billion of financing, putting us in a very strong liquidity position. And here we've been trying to take advantage of the very favourable markets we've experienced over the last few months. I talked at the half year about our ambition to be one of the best airports in the world. We've made a good step towards that, and in the last quarter we have reached the position of being the number one hub airport in Europe, so we've moved ahead of our main rivals for passenger satisfaction. That's a great step forward, but we know that it's a competitive market and they will be fighting back, so we need to keep on improving. I should also mention that we've been busy in other parts of the business, and although the results here don't include our three airports in the airports division, we have agreed a disposal for the airports division of Aberdeen, Glasgow and Southampton, and that will be concluded by the end of January 2015. So that allows us just to focus on Heathrow, and I will update you towards the end on how we're doing with building support for expansion at Heathrow, which has been very successful in the last quarter. So moving on to the next slide, which is headed number one major hub in Europe for passenger satisfaction. For the last 9 months, in each quarter, we have achieved a passenger satisfaction score above 4.0. This is a measure that's done by under the auspices of ACI, which is the airport industry body, and it asks passengers for their satisfaction rating on a number of measures on a scale of 1 to 5, and we've never previously been over 4, but for the last 9 months, we have been consistently. So that puts us into the top quartile of major European airports, and we're delighted that we've overtaken Amsterdam to be number one for passenger satisfaction among the major hubs. We've been operating at 98% of flight capacity this year with a record number of passengers using Heathrow. Punctuality has been pretty good. 79% of our flights have departed on time. That has been an improvement. Just to give you some context, we've seen quite a significant growth in A380s at Heathrow. That's one of the main opportunities for growing passenger volumes. But given how efficient we are and how busy the airport is, that tends to have a negative impact on punctuality. So, and that's because you need larger spacings between two A380s coming into land or an A380 and a smaller plane. So we're working continuously with NATS to improve punctuality so that we get the benefits of growth without the knock-on impact to passenger experience. We talked last time about some of the challenges we had in baggage in June, so we're still seeing higher baggage and misconnects for the first 9 months of the year than we had last year, and we're working hard to make sure we move back into line at least by the end of the year. So you can still see we've come a long way, but we've still got quite some way to go, and we're working hard to get there. Moving on to slide 5, traffic growth from intercontinental routes. This just gives you a flavour for what we are seeing. So we've seen our growth through the year come from long haul in particular, as airlines operate more long haul flights and on average deploy larger aircraft. So typically what we're seeing is some of the 747 fleet being retired, and that's either being upgraded to an A380 or downgraded to something like a 787 or 777, depending on the airline strategy. But overall, we're seeing planes getting slightly larger. That's helped us to grow intercontinental passengers by about 600,000. North America, which is our largest, most deeply mature market, saw passengers growing due to new routes and extra frequencies. British Airways launched a new route to Austin, Texas, and US Airways doubled their frequencies on Charlotte and Los Angeles, which are now A380 services. In Asia Pacific, many emerging economies are generating growth, including the Indian routes, which had increased flights and larger aircraft. Last year, we welcomed Philippine Airlines to Heathrow with its new Manila route, and in China, we had increased flights to Shanghai and Guangzhou, as well as BA starting a new route to Chengdu. And in Latin America, we're delighted to welcome Avianca, who operates a Heathrow to Bogota service. And we also grew traffic on Mexico and Brazil. We've had an increase in frequencies on the Mexico City route. So those are important long-haul connections supporting the British economy. Our European traffic, on the other hand, is flat compared with last year. We did have significant growth here back in 2013, which we've held on to. And in the third quarter, we saw some carriers starting to move slots onto long-haul operations, which has slowed the rate of growth in short-haul. Cargo is an interesting picture. We tend to report on cargo in volume terms, and in volume terms, we were up 5%. That's a lead indicator for economic growth. And we saw notable increases in China, Japan, Brazil, and the USA. So again, the same planes which are taking business people all over the world to growth markets are also taking their export goods. And we've recently started to track exports by value and found that over a quarter of all British exports go through Heathrow. And we knew that Heathrow was the UK's biggest port. We hadn't realised just quite how significant it is in terms of the UK's economy. So we actually have more value of cargo going through Heathrow than the two largest seaports, which are Felixstowe and Southampton. And we actually have seven times more cargo going through Heathrow than at Gatwick, which has a very different business model. So on the back of the overall good growth that we've seen so far, we are upgrading our forecasts for the year to 73.4 million passengers, which will be a record year for us. So moving on to the next slide, we thought it'd be useful to just show you how this compares with the other major hubs. And you'll see that for the same 12-month period now, 12 months to the 30th of September, Heathrow growth over that period is 1.8% compared to 2.5% for Charles de Gaulle, 3.2% for Frankfurt, and 4.1% for Schiphol. So you can see that those hub airports with extra capacity are able to take advantage of growing economies, and in many cases they are taking some of the growth that should be coming to Heathrow, because we are having to turn away flights from long-haul international carriers, and there is no other UK airport that they can go to and make viable, so instead they're going to Paris and Frankfurt. And this helps to understand why there is a strong demand for expansion here at Heathrow. But in any event, it shows that we have a robust level of passenger volumes, and even in the two-runway world, we are very stable. Moving on to the next slide, slide 7, Terminal 2, the Queen's Terminal. Since I last updated you in July, we've successfully moved all of the 26 airlines into Terminal 2. And the phased move of airlines has really been very effective. We've had a very smooth start-up, and I suspect this will become the model for the way that airlines transition into new terminals like this. We've delivered each airline move very well, and the operation is working well. And in particular, one of the innovations we brought in was common check-in, where in principle any passenger can check in and drop their bag at any desk, regardless of the airline they're flying with. That has worked very effectively, and again, I think will become the model for what we do elsewhere at Heathrow and what other airlines will do at other airports around the world. And Mark Schwab, the Chief Executive of Star Alliance, has made some very positive remarks about the benefits that that Star Alliance are getting. He sees the terminal as state-of-the-art, and after many years of having our airlines spread across four terminals, this is a real sea change in customer service. We have a standard minimum connection time of 60 minutes and a far more efficient airport process for both our member airlines and our passengers. And that means that it's going to be much easier for Star Alliance to sell transferring flights across their operations at Heathrow, and should help us to drive extra passenger volume. But it's also contributing to the very good passenger ratings for Terminal 2, which based on the first quarter of operation, if it was an airport in its own right, would be pretty much the best airport in Europe. So that's been a very good success for us so far. That's the operational overview. I'll now hand over to Jose, who will run through the financial highlights.
Thank you, John. Well, moving on to slide 9, financial highlights. Clearly, the financial performance for the 9 months has been good, consistent, and robust. We have seen good growth in revenue of 8.2%, particularly supported by the aeronautical revenue component. The underlying cost performance is also very robust, very strong. Particularly taking into account that the operation of Terminal 2 is starting to have an impact on the 2014 cost base. Obviously, all that is translating into an adjusted EBITDA growth of 12.4%, which is also solid and running above the final year-end expectations. In terms of the capital program, the capital expenditure is down 27%. That is not surprising. You all know that the Q6 capital program is less substantial, is more modest than the previous one, and the Q6 regulatory period just kicked off on the 1st of April 2014, but we will come on to that later on. Looking at the balance sheet, in particular, the net debt continues to be well within the gearing guidance, and with a relatively modest increase in the quarter, and definitely with the cash flows starting to show to move in the right direction. If you remember, our expectation is to become cash flow positive after interests and capex this year, and this is we are heading in the right direction. Getting into the more detailed analysis and starting on slide 10, aeronautical revenue growth is definitely driving the overall revenue increase. There are a number of contributing factors to that. You remember, we have mentioned that in previous quarters, a significant part of that, probably a quarter of the total, is coming from the first quarter of the year. The first quarter of 2014 already or still incorporated the headline tariff increase corresponding to the Q5, to the quinquennium 5, that it was RPI plus 7.5%. So Q1 involves a tariff increase year on year of 10.4%. There is also an element coming from the K factor recovery from previous years. That means that some of the yield dilution experienced in 2012 is being recovered in 2014. And on top of that, 2014 is not showing any more yield dilution. Another component is also the capital triggers. Capital triggers were elements of deductions to revenues driven by delays in delivering specific capital projects. Well, that affected the business in last year, in 2013, but is not impacting 2014. Clearly there is a component based on growth, traffic growth of 1.5%, which is, as you know, more than we originally expected at the beginning of 2014. Turning to the other revenue elements, particularly retail, the overall retail income is growing around 2.8%. And the net retail income per passenger is up 1.7% to £6.34. This is a combination of different things. Some of them consistent with previous trends or with trends in previous quarters, namely the car parking revenues, where the commercial initiatives we have implemented to develop a broader product range, offering premium products such as valet parking or meet and greet, combined with the yield managing processes that we are implementing, and indeed volume are underpinning this increase, this growth. But on top of that, We also have a number of commercial benefits in the concession side this particular month, namely the fact that we have renewed or extended the agreement with World Duty Free, which is our largest retail customer, and that extension is involving an increase in revenues, which is also starting to impact the business in this last quarter. This is obviously one of the steps in the right direction to deliver our commercial revenue targets for Q6. For the time being, we have still some other negative impacts that you are familiar with, the sterling strength, the refurbishment of the Terminal 5 luxury retail area, and the moves in Terminal 2. But some of those impacts are coming to an end. Some of them, other than the sterling strength, were already factored in our business plan. And definitely the Terminal 5 luxury retail works will be finishing in the coming days, on time to relaunch that area before Christmas. From the point of view of costs, on slide 11, definitely the cost performance has been robust. We have an increase in cost of 2.6%, but part of that is the consequence of the of Terminal 2 becoming operational. £24 million in total of that are related to that. Those £24 million are showing a slightly better performance than we expected. So, in principle, we expect the whole year 2014 to end up with a total cost of operating T2 probably lower than the £60 million that initially we were forecasting. But anyway, we will continue monitoring the progression in terms of operating Terminal 2. When taking Terminal 2 out of this particular equation, we end up with a cost picture which is broadly flat, broadly in line with last year. We continue to deliver a number of cost savings and efficiencies. We We mentioned a number of them before: employment cost reductions, both in the frontline staff and the corporate center unit. We are also securing additional efficiencies from our negotiations with suppliers. The most relevant of them is the baggage operation and maintenance, but we can also mention the car parking operation and the inter-terminal coaching. On the other hand, we are starting to spend money that originally was, if you like, not entirely factored in the equation, in the Runway 3 expansion project. Obviously, we need to really expend money, and we need to really make sure that we make our voice heard in the discussions with the expansion airport expansion commission, as well as with the local communities and the rest of the stakeholders, and this is coming with a cost. So far, we have spent £5 million in this particular area. The consequence of all that is the picture on slide 12, where the EBITDA continues growing healthily. As a result of that, the better expectations we have now for the year, we expect the adjusted EBITDA for the year to grow year on year by around 10%, so more than originally expected. Originally, we expected something like 8.5%. Slide 13 is, as I mentioned before, is the representation, the manifestation of the fact that we are moving into a cash flow positive picture. The capital expenditure has been fully funded by cash flows from operations after paying interests, and indeed, as a result of that, the increase in debt is modest, in the region of £500 million, and driven by the index link accretion accumulation, which is not the cash element, and the restricted payments, obviously, that are well described in our press release. Slide 14 is showing the gearing headroom. Clearly, we continue operating with a substantial gearing headroom of around 5.7 points at the Holdco level, at the level of Heathrow Finance, and 5.8 points for the Class B junior debt. The evolution in the first 9 months of the year, and particularly in the last quarter, is very influenced by the fact that we have a number of capital creditor payments made in the quarter that represent the unwinding of the accumulation of creditor balances at the end of 2013. The end of 2013 was a period where the construction of Terminal 2 was coming to an end. The quinquennium Q5 was coming to an end. As a result of that, there was an accumulation of a number of liabilities in order to settle some of the works, in order to, for example, deal with some incentive payments, etc., etc. The effective unwinding of those liabilities and the cash impact of those has taken place in 2014, particularly in the last quarter, as we expected and announced before. But still, the headroom is well inside the limits of our guidance. Moving on to slide number 7, we have had a very successful year indeed in terms of our financing activities, with over £1.6 billion of new debt raised so far, including a number of different transactions, Class A, public offerings in euro and Canadian dollars. We have also recently issued a Heathrow Finance bond, which, by the way, is the longest tenor Holdco bond of any UK regulated utility. We have also completed a good number of private placements since the start of the year. So we are obviously taking advantage of every opportunity to leverage on the good market conditions. And more recently, we have been working on the refinancing of our revolving credit facilities and liquidity facilities, which are totaling £2.15 billion. And we are really pleased to say that we are planning to close that refinancing very, very shortly. So all these transactions together are strengthening our financing position, clearly are extending our liquidity horizon to the end of 2016, December 2016. So it's a really good place to be in order to address the coming 2 years. And before handing you back to John Holland Kay, I want to wrap up in terms of what is what are the key highlights of the performance so far, as well as the outlook. So clearly, we are really proud of having achieved record passenger satisfaction scores. This is particularly rewarding because we have managed to be the first, the number one hub in Europe by passenger satisfaction for the first time. Traffic growth continues, very much underpinned by long-haul traffic, which is also consistent with our expectations for the year and definitely with our hub aspirations. Terminal 2 is now fully occupied with the successful move of 26 airlines over the last 5 months. The financial performance has been good and is giving us the steady start that we needed for the new regulatory period. Indeed, the support of the financial markets, both public and private markets, this year has been really phenomenal, and we feel really happy with that. And given all this set of circumstances, and particularly the traffic performance and good operating performance, we are now considering, as John mentioned, that we will reach 73.4 million passengers for the year as a whole, against the 72.8 that we expected at the beginning of the year. And in terms of turnover, we expect to reach something in the region of £2.69 billion, with an adjusted EBITDA of around £1.56 billion. And that's all from the financial highlights point of view. I will hand over to John.
Great, thanks Jose. Well, let me just give you a quick update on where we are with our strategic agenda. And I described last time our ambition to take Heathrow from being one of the best airports in Europe to being one of the best airports in the world. And we've obviously made some good progress with that, but we have a long way to go to get up to the kind of levels of a Singapore or a Hong Kong airport. But I set out four priorities that we're working on. The first of them is beating our regulatory settlement, which we know is quite a big challenge. Just in context, that requires us to reduce our costs by £600 million and get an incremental £100 million of income over what we have in the plan. So it's quite challenging. I hope you can see from some of the things that Jose talked about that we're making a good start on that. We are renegotiating most of our third-party contracts. We have come to a settlement with our unions with a pay deal that is below inflation for this year and next year. And that's on top of a management pay freeze that we put in place earlier this year. And we've also introduced new starter pay rates, which we've agreed with the unions. So that'll help us to manage our people cost down over time. And we're also taking other steps. For example, we've been replacing a lot of our old-style lighting with new LED lighting, which is both a lower operating cost and lower maintenance cost, and that's helping us to manage down some of our utility costs. So a lot of activity on a wide range of things, and we have also been reducing our head office overhead, and we're just finalising a reorganisation that will allow us to reduce our central costs. In terms of continuous improvement, a number of things happening there. One is to support our improvement in passenger experience. A lot of that comes down to punctuality and getting passengers through the airport quickly and getting them away on time. We are working with the airlines and with NATS on how we can improve both arrivals and departures punctuality. But in terms of passenger flow, We are just about to open our new airport operations centre, which will give us for the first time a view of all of the operation across the airport in a single room,
and bring together all of the stakeholders across the airport, both our own people,
the border force, some of the airline representatives, some of the ground handlers, and that will allow us to look at the flow of passengers and planes so that we can not only see issues and respond quickly, but we can start to anticipate any issues that might happen and redeploy resources. And that'll be useful both in normal operations, but particularly when we have disruptions. So that's a good step forward. And in addition to that, we're taking a number of steps, which you may see if you're travelling through, which will improve passenger flows and reduce some of the bottlenecks. So we're adding to capacity in security in Terminal 5, which is the current bottleneck for both departing and transfer passengers. And we're expanding our transfer capacity in Terminal 3. So those are both at the heart of the hub, and that will help to improve passenger experience and make us more competitive as a transfer hub. In terms of Mojo, this is our culture change program, where we are trying to inject some more pace into the organisation. And there's a number of things I could point to here, but one I'd like to pick on. I was in Asia about a month ago and went to see some of the main Asian hubs, which are very highly rated. So I was in Hong Kong, and they had a very simple system to overcome a common passenger complaint, which is that when people go through security, if they've got a half-full bottle of water, we take it off them, and they're not allowed to take it through security. And when they get to the other side, they feel that they're obliged to go and buy another bottle of water. And for some passengers, that annoys them because they think we've only done it so that we can get them to buy another bottle. That's not our intention at all. But what we haven't done previously is make it easy for people to empty out their water bottle and refill it. But I saw a very simple system in Hong Kong Airport where they do that, where they have a big area where you can empty out your water bottle, and then the right kind of taps for refilling them after security. So I brought that idea back from Hong Kong, and within a week we had it up and running in Terminal 2, having changed the taps and put in the new dispenser system and arranged with the cleaning contractor to empty it. And once we have trialled that and got that working, we'll be rolling that out into our other terminals. But being able to turn that around from idea into something live in the operation within a week is much quicker than we have been able to work in the past, and is really just an illustration of how I want Heathrow to be able to move at pace. But let me come back to winning approval for expansion. And we're moving into a critical period over the next 9 months as the Airports Commission finishes its work and we move towards the election and then a recommendation from the Davis Commission. And I think we are well placed with this. We have just come through the political conference season when the major parties decide what's going to go into their manifestos. And there was clear commitment from the two major parties, Labour and Conservatives, that they wanted to have to support the Davis Commission process. They wanted a quick and bold decision afterwards that supported economic growth in the UK. And that's a very helpful signal. That shows that Heathrow is politically deliverable, and they were certainly not ruling out expansion at Heathrow, and that shows how far we've come in the last couple of years. So now we need to make sure that the environment is right for the Davis Commission to make that recommendation, and that we get the vote out. So we're very pleased that over the last few weeks we've seen some of that national support coming out. We have the CBI, which is one of the main employers organisations, coming out last month in support of a hub airport, and Heathrow is the only hub airport on the table. We had 23 Chambers of Commerce, which are the regional small and medium-sized enterprises organisations from across the UK coming out in support of Heathrow expansion last week. We have one of the major unions coming out in support as well. So we are seeing the support for Heathrow coming out up and down the country. We've also seen a lot of growth in support locally. We now have over 40,000 local people who have signed up to
Back Heathrow, which is a grassroots organisation,
and that means that when politicians go out campaigning,
they're seeing Back Heathrow posters in people's windows and on people's cars, and that just demonstrates that locally the support for Heathrow is significant, and in fact more local people support expansion of Heathrow than oppose it, which is a very strong base for us to make our case to government.
And we also did some polling over the summer with MPs, which showed that 58% of MPs backed Heathrow expansion and only 13% backed Gatwick. That's
a very powerful commendation.
And what that all shows is that Heathrow is politically deliverable.
But it's also commercially deliverable. I've spent
a fair bit of time talking to airlines recently. I went out to China and Korea and Hong Kong
to talk to airlines to understand their
growth needs. And there's a clear picture in all the growth markets of the world, in
Asia, North and South America, of demand from airlines to fly to Heathrow.
And that gives us
a good starting point for
putting a strong business case together. And they want to fly to Heathrow, and if they can't fly to Heathrow, they will go to one of the other European hubs. But
Heathrow would be their preference.
So that shows that there's a great opportunity to be grabbed here. And
we need to make sure that
show that that
expansion of Heathrow is
politically deliverable, and we'll get the backing of the Davis Commission and politicians, because it is a great opportunity for the UK to seize the initiative in winning the race for growth against
our European and Middle Eastern competitors.
So I think that's going quite well. We have a long way to go. But so far so good, and we'll be working hard to make sure the vote is out.
And as significant investors in Heathrow, I hope that you are also making your voice heard,
because certainly from a financial markets point of view, keeping the UK and London best connected for the trade around the world will be a huge advantage in getting to your markets, and I hope that you'll be making that case when you meet with
politicians and to the Davis Commission.
That's all I wanted to cover, but I'd be very keen to take any questions. So, operator, can we open up the call to questions now?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press the 01 on your telephone keypad now. If you wish to withdraw that question, you may do so by pressing the 02 to cancel. There will be a brief pause while questions are being registered. As a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press the 01 on your telephone keypad now. Okay, there appear to be no audio questions at this time.
Well, that's great. Hopefully we've covered everything that was in anyone's minds. If you do have any follow-up questions, please feel free to contact Anne Hearn, and she will happily follow up. But I just want to thank you for your time today and for your continued support of Heathrow. I think we're making good progress. We have a long way to go, but I'm pleased with the start we've made for Q6. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.